Hey, everybody. My name is Frank Wassenberg. Welcome to season two of the CX Experience podcast that we've got here. Very excited for season two. Season one was an amazing success, and we're going to keep this thing going as a regular series for us. So we're really excited to have some new guests coming this season and accomplish a whole bunch of new customer experience related topics and discuss how we're going to improve everyone's experience in the contact center world. I have my partner on the phone. I'm going to let him introduce himself as well.
I am Kevin Sheehan. I am Frank's partner in CloudLinks.
It's exciting that we get to keep doing this in a virtually distant way. And today, the starting guest for season two, the big moment, Matt, it's a big moment. Be ready. We have Matthew Saskin, the VP of Customer Experience for Selligent. Matthew, thanks for joining us, man.
My pleasure. Glad to be here and happy to help kick off season two.
Season two, man. Kevin was making a joke that I think is apropos. I wonder which is bigger, the build up to this or the Mandalorian. I'm not sure for season two. It's going to be bigger. So what we're going to do is we're going to kind of go over a little bit about Selligent for people, because you guys aren't a household name in the market. And when we started partnering with you guys, we found it really interesting, the product, and it gets a little complicated to understand what it is, because it's a really cool mix of enabling the agent, enabling the company, but really delivering tremendous value so that the customer that you're dealing with gets treated in a certain way, which I thought was really, really cool. So do me a favor. Why don't you just tell us to start off, tell us a little bit about Selligent, what's the goal of the company, where you guys see yourself in the market so that we can explain that, and then we'll get into some questions that we have for you.
Yeah, absolutely. So Selligent as a company is about 25 years old or so at this point. I've got about 750 clients on our platform today. And the history of the company is actually, if you go way back to the dark ages, was about a CRM platform. So we started with a premise-based CRM system. The world quickly shifted to cloud and Salesforce took over the world. And rather than continue down that path, what the company did was pivot to a marketing automation platform. We had a great understanding of how you capture information about a customer, how you do something meaningful with that. And the natural progression was, how do you take that data and do really deep, personalized, engaging marketing, predominantly outbound and digital? And as the years have gone on, one of the things that we've started to focus on over the past year or so is, how do we take these capabilities, this understanding of the customer that for the most part was only used by marketers, right, within the marketing organization, how do we make that available to different buying communities, to the contact center or customer experience leaders, so you can take this wealth of knowledge about who the customer is, what they've purchased, what they're looking at on the website, interactions they've had in the past, the whole history of who they are, and use that to deliver these really deep, engaging customer experiences, whether that's sort of orchestrating their engagement across the web, right? Providing a targeted web callback or web chat or inbound engagement based on who you are, where you are in your journey, the context around it. As you mentioned, bringing that data about the customer, those insights and guidance to the agent to let them better serve, and being able to engage customers digitally, right, outbound across email, SMS, mobile push, sort of you name it, but all in the effort of allowing organizations to focus on the individual, not just on the interactions that they're having, and all in the name of improving overall customer experience.
And that's kind of the key, as I looked at it, is that engagement with the individual. To me, that was really one of the more powerful things you talk about this, because when you realize that your agents are your brand, when you realize that your agents are carrying the mission statement of the company forward, those agents, you have to enable them as best as possible. But everyone thinks they're doing that in a contact center. Yeah. Everyone thinks they're doing that by giving them tools so that they can monitor them. They can give them tools that maybe they can do some QA on them, some gamification and motivate them, but not really powering their interaction with that client directly at that point. Which beyond the normal notes that are in the CRM, this thing I found interesting because you have this concept of the universal profile, which I thought was really cool in driving that idea forward, right? Tell us a little bit about the universal profile, because to me, that's what makes the agent powerful. That's almost the secret sauce.
Right. No, 100%. And that's one of the interesting things for me coming to Selligent. And by way of background, I've spent my entire career in the contact center industry in a variety of roles. I've run operations, I've run architecture, I've run a systems integration business. So I know the contact center world. And I stepped into Selligent, which has historically been focused on marketing, And a couple of things occurred to me. One is there's a whole wealth of tools and capabilities that marketers have in use today that are like, you know, seeing fire for the first time to contact center and CX leaders. And that's where we eventually got to this message of helping organizations manage the individual, not the interaction, right? What we realized is that in the contact center, when we look at the different CCaaS platforms that are out there today, as an example, they all do a really good job at managing interactions, right? They're great at getting you, Frank, from point A to point B across the channel of your choice. Many of them do a pretty good job of cataloging that interaction history, right? When are all the times we've spoken to Frank and on what channel and for what reason? But the place they start to fall apart is every other interaction that you have with that organization, with that brand, right? What were you doing on the web? What are the outbound messages they've sent you? Maybe what have you actually, well, maybe not today, but what have you gone into a store to physically purchase and what type of interaction have you had in person? So the starting point of our platform, as you mentioned, is what we call our universal profile. So we've got a really easy to use tool set. You know, it took me a couple of hours to figure it out, and I haven't actually touched a system or done any real work in about 10 years now. Took me a few hours to figure it out, but we can effectively bring in data from any system out there, right? Could be, as I said, the CRM system, could be purchase history out of e-commerce or point of sale, could be contact center interaction, sort of you name it. If it involves a customer touch point, we can bring that into our system. We can link all of that together and create this universal profile. And in the marketing world, it would kind of be called a CDP. But we're aiming to make these tools available and easy to use for the contact center. Because historically, right, if marketing has this information, my experience, and I'd venture yours is the same, is that most contact centers don't have access to that data because it's owned by a different silo or a different piece of the organization. So we want to make this tool set that's really easy to use available to the contact center for their use. And as long as the contact center stakeholders can get read-only access to the right types of data that sit across silos in the company, that can all be pulled together and create this 360-degree view of who Kevin is or who Frank is across their life cycle with the organization.
And that's what companies, I think, miss. You know, they miss the, if you're in marketing, your job is to get out there and get in front of as many faces as you can. And having this information available to the agents at the most opportune time really has been something that's non-existent for a lot of people. I like the analogy. It's like seeing fire. But it's really something that's never been presented to the agents to really do.
Right. No, that's exactly it. I mean, you know, I spent several years running a customer experience consulting practice within a global SI. And oftentimes when we'd sit down and go through a journey mapping exercise with a client and really sit down and figure out with them, all right, what does your customer journey for, you know, the top five types of interactions look like? What you'd find is marketing, if you went and talked to them, had this wealth of information on who the buyer persona is, how were they reaching out to them, what was happening. And then as soon as someone actually transacted, right, they converted, they're now a paying customer, that's it, poof, you're starting all over again. You're now Frank, you have a customer ID, and that's it. Right, being able to bridge some of this world together is extraordinarily useful. And I can think of a handful, again, in the systems integrator capacity, a handful of sort of one-off science projects we did that were attempting to create what we have now in Selligent, at Selligent, just as a ready-to-use platform. So, you know, if Selligent had been going to market in this way several years ago, or if I knew about Selligent 5 years ago and sort of brought it up, certainly could have saved my team a ton of time and effort in my former life, and probably saved some of my clients some pain and heartbreak and money.
You know, Matt, just a question from my side of the business. Typically, I'm at the forefront of introducing our customers to what it is that we do. Frank tends to be the brains of the operation behind the scenes, managing
bigger head.
Typically, we start out our engagements working with call centers on the service side. Typically, we start the conversations with somebody who manages the call center, and that's typically service focused. We tend to, as you say, put kind of categories of these platforms into certain buckets or swim lanes. Do you see the service side of a call center seeing value in this, or do you market it to the sales side, or do you market it to the marketing side? And there's certainly different aspects of a company that would be the first ones to say, oh, you know what, this seems like something we could use.
Yeah. So the reality is we can fit into and actively work with sort of all facets of the contact center, whether it's a sort of upfront sales contact center, whether it's a service and support organization. And at the end of the day, we like to spend a lot of time, and this was actually a major contributor for why I decided to come over to Selligent. We like to spend a significant amount of effort in understanding how our current clients are using the platform today, making sure that we catalog the outcomes that they're able to achieve, and be able to tell the stories around that. Because at the end of the day, you know, Frank, to your point, the platform can do a lot. And it's much easier to explain by way of use cases and stories and examples. And we've got sort of a massive archive of the outcomes clients are achieving sort of across the spectrum. And I like to think of outcomes as really three buckets. There are those who are driving revenue, driving increases in customer lifetime value, making more money at the top line. There are those that are gaining some sort of operational efficiency, right? And reducing cost, gaining, you know, improving the bottom line. There are those that are improving broadly customer satisfaction, right? Whether that's net promoter score, reducing customer effort, improving CSAT scores, you name it. And what we find is that over time, a lot of our clients, regardless of where they start using the platform, start to do more with it, right? Once they've purchased the platform and have the data in place, it's sort of natural. And our RCSM team does a really good job working with clients to help expand footprint and use cases. But it's a natural progression to say, we're going to use this to give some more insight and context to our support agents so they can better service the customer, get them the right documentation they're looking for faster, understand where on the web they've been and what they've tried to self-serve first. And then, well, if we're gathering data about what someone's doing on the website, it only makes sense to also start using this to power upsell and cross-sell opportunities, right? Someone's purchased this, they've looked at that. Let's try and sell them that. So there's this natural expansion.
Right. How much of that comes from AI, or talk to us about what effect AI has on the platform and how it looks?
Yeah. So we have an AI tool set that we call Cortex that we've used in a couple of different places in the platform. So very, very targeted use cases. We use Cortex to do something we refer to as send time optimization. So when we send outbound engagements to a customer, email, SMS, mobile, we use that platform to help identify when a customer is most likely to actually pay attention to the message that's been sent to them. So rather than your outbound messages all getting sent at 9 in the morning, if we know that Frank is most receptive and actually clicks through emails at 2 p.m., the messages to Frank are going to get sent at 2 p.m. So right. Send time optimization is one place. We use Cortex to do product recommendations as well. So once we have an organization's product catalog and purchase history, we can use it to make intelligent recommendations on products that, right, are the most popular, that others who have purchased X may also be interested in purchasing Y. And there's a whole host of other sort of in development capabilities with Cortex as well. We'll be doing channel optimization. So not just 2 p.m. is the right time to reach Frank, but 2 p.m. via SMS is the right time to reach Frank. So we're continuing to expand on that footprint.
Are there any firewalls in place within the organization to make sure that Cortex doesn't go full Skynet and
start taking over everything?
Because that sounds pretty, you know, it's getting up there. You know, if it's
fair. So at the end of the day, right, the send time optimization features, as one example, are a checkbox that you can put in place when you're setting up a segment of customers to reach with an outbound journey. So at the end of the day, right, you can decide to turn that on or off. Same thing, product.
I'm picturing you guys now, Kevin. You've ruined it. Now I'm picturing Matthew sending me text messages to my refrigerator display screen right. Now exactly. At 3 o'clock in the morning,
well,
getting a
right
glass
thing.
Of water. Like that's when you get Wasserberg, when he's up getting a drink of water at 3 a.m. Like this is out of control. It is. It's amazing.
I have a couple of ex-girlfriends who would have loved that platform.
and what you're saying is interesting too, because it's you go from the concept of this the stat star, right? 71% of customers expect that when they call into a contact center, the agent's going to know who they are.
Exactly.
And I think you guys, the stat you guys posted is only 12% of businesses can deliver a holistic experience in any way, shape, or form. Mm-hmm. And that gap is massive. If you look at, I'm expecting you to know me. I have no means of delivering that holistic experience. Maybe I can identify you, but I don't know you. And you're just going to be yet another interaction. That's it.
Right. And even then, when you get it right within the contact center, that's great. Just because you know that it's Frank calling and you're talking to me now on the phone and you chatted with us last week, what's missing is that you were also looking at these three products on the website. And we also sent you a payment reminder notification 3 days ago, and all of those things start providing context that either can inform what an agent does, right? And that could be sort of guided or unguided, right? I would, having run contact centers before, I certainly would not recommend you take all of this information and just throw it in front of an agent, right? Contact center agents can't figure out what to do. But applying the right context at the right time has value, right? You're talking to Frank. He was looking at this product on the website. We engaged him. He's starting a chat. Sell him this product. Versus you're talking to Frank. He called the support number. We sent him a billing notification 3 days ago. That's probably what he's calling about.
Now, there's a difference here that I want to talk about, because it took me a second or two to get it, where I always find it crazy that when I go and Google something to search something up, like a garden hose, the next 6 weeks, mm-hmm. garden hoses are popping up on my feed and everything I look at, right? Drives me insane, actually. But so how are you guys actually finding who's on the website and what they're searching for? If it's just a random caller or if it's a client, but they've never logged into a site, they've never done anything like that. But when they call, you know who they are.
Yeah, so we can plug into an organization's website. And I want to be very clear that when we are tracking web behavior, we're not tracking what Frank is doing across the entire internet, right? We're tracking what Frank is doing the moment he hits the garden hose store's website. And we do that in a couple of different ways. At the end of the day, it's a cookie, right? But what we start doing the moment anyone hits an organization's website is anonymously tracking behavior, right? So we know that that person in that web browser has been on the page for 5 minutes. They've looked at these products, clicked on these links. They came to us because they searched on Google for, 100-foot-long garden hoses. And we're cataloging that anonymous behavior. And then we have the ability in a couple of different ways to take that anonymous behavior and make it identified. We can do that when a customer identifies themselves, right? They fill out a form with their phone number, their email address, or they log into a secure site. We can also do it when they click a link in an outbound message, right? We send them an email, we send them an SMS, they click the link. We've now married up that customer profile of data that may have come from CRM, e-commerce, whatever, and this formerly anonymous web browsing history, and we've glued those together, and now we've got this link. And once this link is done, we can then start personalizing the content on the website based on that person's profile. So rather than the fairly typical, you go to a website, 30 seconds later, you get the somewhat dumb pop-up that says, hey, chat with us, we can now target those offers based on the customer's profile. So if we know that Frank just likes to come to the website, click around a lot, and has never purchased a thing from us, maybe we only want to give him that web chat offer. On the other hand, we know that Kevin has been a loyal customer. He's spent thousands of dollars with us in the past year. He's come to the website, he's looking at a very high value product. We want to target him with a, Kevin, welcome back. If you're interested in this, click here. We'll call you back within 30 seconds. So you can target that engagement based on the profile. And in all these cases, it's really important to note, we're not the ones trying to control the digital channel. So while we can make content appear on the web and provide all that context around the customer from their universal profile, at the end of the day, we're using the underlying contact center or telephony platform's abilities to do a web chat or a web callback. So whether you're using Cisco, Genesys Cloud, Five9, InContact, it doesn't really matter to us. We can plug in and have partnerships and relationships with the bulk of the CCaaS platforms out there. So we're not trying to take over the web chat or the phone calls, as an example.
I was going to ask, it sounds like it's a relatively open architecture platform. In other words, everyone describes their platforms as open architecture, but then you find out it's really, 3 out of 10. Like on a scale of 1 to 10, how open are the integrations in the CCaaS space?
But let's call it a 9.
Yeah.
I mean, we've without getting too much in the detail behind it, I'm happy to head that way if we want to.
Our platform's
built around some really simple concepts, right? We have data that sits in this customer in a universal profile. And as long as we can take in a flat file or we can have data pushed by an API, that information gets into the profile. And once it's there, we have this concept of a journey, which is used to sort of orchestrate how a customer interacts, and content, which is something that gets displayed to a customer or displayed at the agent desktop or interacted with by a routing script to make a routing decision. And at the front end, journeys get kicked off with an API. And at the sort of back end, content can be just about anything. It could be a formatted page that a CRM system can consume to display to an agent. It can be just a piece of HTML, right? A piece of web content that gets glued into a website or embedded in an email or embedded in the agent desktop. You know, when we go through the effort to integrate with a new CCaaS platform, it's typically about a day's worth of work for one of our solutions consultants to sort of work through all the mechanisms of how that happens. So it's a pretty lightweight way to tie the systems together.
Now, you say, Kevin, you want to say something?
No, at one point in every one of these podcasts, we ask the hack question of, what makes you better than your competition? But let me frame it a little bit better.
Sure.
Pardon the pun. You know, there's a lot of automated marketing platforms out there. Yeah. We've spoken to many. What makes you different? Not so much better or worse, because everyone thinks, you know, they're the best, and that's the way it should be. But like, what makes you different than your peers?
Yeah, no. So first, I'll caveat this with, I'm not going to speak for the MarTech side of our business, because that's not my world. I'm not a marketer. I'm one of about 10 people at the company who doesn't come from a marketing background, and that's by design. but I'd say in the contact center and CX space, we don't really have any competition. And that's because, as I mentioned back at the beginning, up to this point, this concept of true 360 view of the customer and having this centralized place where you know data about who that customer is, has basically only existed within the marketing side of the organization. And speaking from personal experience here, over the past decade, let's say, I can really think of, one hand's worth of clients whose CRM system actually provides them that 360 degree view of the customer, right? It's an extraordinarily rare thing. We're aiming to provide this added capability in the contact center and CX market. And there really isn't anybody that competes with us. You know, when we look at specific pieces of the portfolio, right, there's all sorts of tools for doing directed outbound engagement. And there's all sorts of organizations that have, wrapped their own around a Twilio or something like that. There's a handful of different tools for tracking web journeys and doing something based on that, right? A prime example there would have been AltoCloud, now Genesys Predictive Engagement. But there are very few, or really none, that wrap all these capabilities together and then sit them on top of this profile, this understanding of who the customer is, to drive context throughout the customer journey.
Now, you mentioned before that in light of that, but also what you said before in terms of it's best told in a story, can you give me a case study? Like, for example, like if I'm the thing that everyone hates buying insurance, right? Nobody likes buying insurance, no matter what you say. Nobody likes going and buying insurance. How would that take an insurance brokerage, or how would that take a major insurance firm and make them more engaged with the agent on something that no one likes to do?
No, great question. So, typically you've got to figure that in most cases today, customers' journeys with something, right, with a new brand, a new product, begin on the web, right? So you're going to start looking around. Maybe you're going to land at an insurance company website because you search for it, or somebody recommended you go there. You land on their website either way. So that's that first touch point of engagement. And from there, it kind of splits two ways. Maybe you're an existing customer and you're looking to add a new policy or add some additional, add additional products. Or if you're a new customer, we start by, again, that tracking what you're doing, right? If you're new, we've never seen you before, we're going to start understanding what you're looking at. Maybe you're clicking around, you're digging into automotive insurance, you're bouncing back and forth between pages on, what are the merits of, different amounts of liability coverage or different deductibles. So we're starting to build this understanding of who you are and what you're looking at. From there, we can trigger that targeted engagement. Hey, we've got someone on the website. They searched on Google for automotive insurance, North Carolina, where I live. They landed on our page. So we know what they're looking for. It's probably, let's call it a warm lead, not a hot lead. So we're going to pop up that web chat. That web chat's going to engage that customer on whatever the contact center platform is, right? Five Nines in contact, doesn't really matter. And when that contact gets to the agent, the web chat started, we can plug in and start providing that agent with what we know so far. Maybe we don't know who the person is, but we do understand, listen, they landed at the website having searched for auto insurance in North Carolina. They've spent a lot of time looking at pages between, you know, what is $100,000 versus $200,000 in liability coverage. So now you as an agent can have a more meaningful, engaging conversation with that customer. Hey, understand you're looking for automotive insurance. Can I answer any questions, right? It seems you may have some questions about what the different liability coverage for an auto policy means. How can I help you? So we've given that agent some context to have a more in-depth conversation right out the gate. From there, the agent does their thing, right? They're going to sell the person. Person decides, you know what? That's great. I'm going to sign up for an auto insurance policy. The next place Selligent kicks in is in our ability to do that proactive outbound engagement. That could be automated follow-up after the call or after the chat is over. Thanks for your call today. Here's some basic information about the next steps, how we guide you through applying for and processing your auto insurance policy. Maybe a day and a half after, they're automatically sent another message again. Hey, your policy documents have been sent. If there's any questions, click here and we'll get you reconnected immediately to an agent. Could automatically trigger outbound engagements based on a CSAT score, right? If that customer through whatever experience management platform is in place gets a survey and they had a really great experience, we could trigger an outbound message to thank them for their feedback and maybe offer a discount code or something they can share with a friend. If they had a really poor experience, rather than waiting till the next time they call in, we can choose to automatically re-engage. We're terribly sorry, Frank, that you had a bad experience. Click here and we'll call you back within a minute to get that fixed, or click here and you can chat with us. So we can do these dirt journeys that are sort of bi-directional, right? It's not just about getting you into the contact center, but when we send you that email, that chat, that SMS, we can immediately pull you back into the contact center to build on the experience, to fix whatever went wrong.
You're the behind the scenes guy. I mean, listen, you're driving that engagement to make sure that every opportunity is taken.
Absolutely. You know, keeping it on the topic of cars, I guess, and to get the conversation away from the two of you who are massive nerds, I'm a big car guy, and I enjoy high performance cars. One case study that caught my eye from Selligent is that you guys work with BMW North America. They, like many other high-end sports cars, they have sponsored events throughout the year where they basically rent out a racetrack and they allow, you know, enthusiasts to come out. And that's an extremely targeted end user for these type of events. But by working with Selligent, as I read through the case study, they actually doubled the attendance because they could find the exact type of guy vis-a-vis like me who would want to, yeah, not you, definitely not Frank, who would want to attend. And getting someone to one of these events, if you can get someone to attend a test day, that is an instant sale. And I thought that was a great example. And more on the sales side and not on the service side of how using Selligent effectively can have a major impact on a marketing campaign.
Yeah, I know, it's 100%. And excuse me, there's a whole host of really good stories like that. One that sort of I really like because it ties in well is, there's a large electronics retailer. They happen to be in Europe, but that's neither here nor there. Large electronics retailers using us, and this is a good place where they're using us in a few different places. So the starting point for them was doing some post-purchase education, right? You bought this product, and at the end of the day, it doesn't matter if this product is, you know, an M3 or a stereo receiver. You bought this product. We want to make sure you're getting good use out of it, so you're not unhappy with it. Granted, you can't go return your M3, but again, different story. But you know, the starting point for them was you bought this thing, and we want to make sure that timed with this thing arriving at your doorstep, you're being given good information. So let's email or SMS you some information about how to unbox and set up this new TV or how to use this new product. And by doing that, you know, right out of the gate, they saw 90% reduction in phone calls to return products and about a 30% reduction in hard product returns, people shipping back expensive pieces of electronics that then have to be marked down. So that's great. Number one, gain some efficiency. What they then realized is we've got these people sitting in a contact center with time on their hands. How do we make some more money off of that? Next step for them was setting up a campaign to connect a web journey inward. In that case, it was, you know, when people land on the website having searched for a new cell phone or a new cell phone plan, that's in effect a hot lead, right? You landed on their site after searching for an iPhone 11. So let's give that person a targeted offer, right? Hey, we see you're looking for a new cell phone or a new mobile phone plan. Click here. We'll call you back within 30 seconds. So we can immediately connect this customer who's shown that they have a desire to buy something with the contact center agent that's trained to deal with that issue or with that upsell opportunity. They saw about a 28% increase in close on those types of deals on new phones and new cell phone plans. So, you know,
that's the secret sauce then. That's the secret sauce. The universal profile is valuable.
Yep.
But that's hard dollars you're putting in people's pockets.
Right. Like, and it's
the universal profile is good, but it's nowhere near what you're talking about here. What you're talking about here is now cash.
What's the profile that enables that, right? The profile is just data.
Do that follow-up, that enablement for the agent, that making it you stay in front of the people. That's the cool thing. The timing of that and building the business processes is enormous.
Exactly. And that's where, whether you're buying a stereo receiver or a car, it's being able to personalize those engagements with the right message and the right offer at the right time that drives the sale, right? And I can assure you, as you know, Kevin, right, someone goes to one of the performance driving experiences and that 330i they were considering all of a sudden becomes an M3 because, man, this was cool. I need that car.
You guys keep talking about M3s. What's an M3?
Shut up, Frank. Just shut up.
What is that?
Nerd.
That's what I am. Frank the nerd. Like, I've been trying to figure that moniker since high school. Great.
Yeah, no, you're 100% right, though. And you know, you think about, you know, and we can get into the cost structure, maybe not specifics, but how it's structured. But like the investment in that having Selligent for that kind of event, and you think about the impact on top line revenue to an organization, it could be massive.
Yep.
Massive.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, generally, you know, we've priced into the contact center space to fit the traditional CCaaS model. So for us, pricing is based on, two things. One is how big is the contact center, right? How many agents are going to be getting intelligence from and using the platform? The second is effectively how many customers you have. And by that, we mean, right, if you're a regional bank that's got, I don't know, 500,000 account holders, you more or less have 500,000 customers, and that's essentially how many customer records are we storing in our platform. Mm-hmm. And those two things together come up with the price per agent per month. You know, there's a tier of pricing and all that. Depending on organization size, you know, you might be talking about something in the, you know, $25 to $50 per seat per month range. A lot depends on the size of the organization, right? Because there are edge cases for really small contact centers with really big customer bases.
Sure.
And vice versa, right? Really big contact centers with really small customer bases, maybe because they're particularly high touch or it's particularly a high-end product or service.
Yeah.
And then when we look at sort of who's buying our solution, it's a pretty broad range. Obviously, a lot of e-tail and retail, as you can imagine, a lot of financial service and insurance, big hospitality and travel footprint. Relatively large automotive footprint, more so out of Europe than the United States, but pretty broad spectrum of verticals see value here. And again, right, we've got a lot of case studies and references across verticals, so it makes it easy to spark some of that creativity with prospects and clients as to what they can be doing, how they can be doing things differently, what can they learn from others in their industry or even others outside of their industry.
That's great.
I mean, dude, we've had you for, I guess we've had you going now for almost 40 minutes, and I don't want to keep you too much longer because, you know, you got to get back to your work day here. is there anything that you kind of want to leave us with? Like, what would be the ideal way to think of Selligent, or where would you see yourself inserted the best way for an agent, or what process do you think you've improved the most for a client? Like, where do you want people to leave thinking about you?
Yeah. So at the end of the day, the thing that I find the most interesting, the most interesting stories we have and discussions we've had with clients all revolve around how we can connect those web journeys into the contact center to drive sort of more intelligence, more contact, more personalized engagement. But more broadly, I'd say that really take a look at how you engage with your customer across channels, across times in the journey and life cycle, and think through what you know about them, what you really know about that customer at that point in time. And I'd put money down that when you sit through, sit and think about it, you're missing information, right? There's something that you've thought about before that said, hey, when we send this customer this confirmation after they make a product purchase, it would be really great if we knew that they recently had a bad experience, or really great if we knew that they were also looking at this potential other product on the website. The places we fit in are everywhere where that knowledge of, and a little more intelligence about the customer would help fill out that picture and let you deliver a better experience, a better quality of service, a more efficient upsell or cross-sell. So, right, we fit into all those places. And perhaps most importantly, we're not there to step on the toes of or displace any existing technology that's in place today. So we're not going to come in and say, this is great, but you got to replace your CRM system, or you got to replace your e-commerce platform, or you've got to change your contact center completely, right? The platform is common enough and open enough that we can plug into basically anything out there and begin adding value pretty quickly.
Yeah, I see that. I get that. That's huge.
That's great.
Kevin, anything on your side?
No, I think Selligent is it's a great platform that everyone who follows CloudLinks and our client base should take a serious look at. It sounds like it's perfectly crafted for what call centers are trying to do in this new cloud-enabled world, where the customer experience, the CX experience, is just going to next levels. You know,
yeah.
it's a great piece.
And there's reason after, right, 15 years plus in a variety of different places in the contact center world, I came to a distinctly sort of non-contact center at the time company, because, you know, I thought this is a tremendous opportunity to do something really cool. You know, the feedback we've had from our partners, from the technology partners, right, the CCaaS platform providers, has been fantastic. So I'm encouraged that the market gets it, and there's lots of places we can help out.
That's great, man. Well, listen,
awesome.
I got to tell you, Matt, thank you so much for joining us here.
My pleasure.
Episode one, season two, you'll always have that as your LinkedIn achievements.
Yeah,
put that in the achievements. Well, listen, Matt, thank you very much. Just hold on a second, and we'll get back to you in a second. But thank you very much, everybody. Thank you very much for joining another episode. I'm Frank Wassenberg. Thank you very much.
I'm Kevin Sheehan.
Take care, everybody.
This is the way.